welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
You know, we've been doing a series called Unwrapped. We've been talking about Christmas, the who's of Christmas, the what, the where, the when, and the why. Okay? What is Christmas? That's what I want to talk to you about today. What is Christmas? Because as the year 2023 draws to a close, right? Millions of people around the world, we're all looking forward to it. And we're shopping till we drop. We're getting our sparkly decorations. And we got our lights out. Everything's going. We're eating all the delicious food. I was actually at a Christmas party last night. And in Cocoa Beach, and I was running the photo booth for a party, and just people were eating everything in sight, you know. And it was amazing. They had jolly music, exciting gifts are coming. We're all excited, you know, to experience Christmas. And what we know is Christmas, but it's coming. You have 15 days to get it done. Larry's laughing, he's like, ooh. Yeah. Yeah. 15 days. It's 2 weeks. You know how fast that's going to go? It's going to be Christmas before you know it. So, how much do you really know about Christmas and the super fun holiday that we have lots of fun, we have it all figured out, but is it a holiday where we celebrate Santa and his gifts, or is it just a holiday that many who don't even believe in God are looking at us going, what's wrong with those people? You know, the atheists think we're crazy. How does an atheist celebrate Christmas?
I don't know. Do they still dance for joy?
I don't know. I'm not an atheist. But is Christmas a retail gimmick? Is it just an excuse that they've made for us to go spend our money and buy gifts and do all that? It can feel that way sometimes, but I'm here today to tell you, no, it's the real celebration of Christmas, and what Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. And what do we call that? It's called the incarnation of God. Now, have you ever heard the word incarnation?
Yes.
It's not an instant drink. Okay? It's actually a biblical term that they use, and it's what Christmas is, and it's about to happen, the celebration of this thing called the incarnation, and the purpose of Christmas. That's what I want to look at today for a minute, just the purpose of it. What really happened back then, and what's really happening right now when it comes to Christmas? And I had to look at this and I said, everything that people do to celebrate Christmas that I see apart from Christ, people that don't know Jesus, there's this big distraction that's been put in place by the enemy to take your eyes off of what Christmas really is, which is the incarnation of God himself. So what is Christmas? It is the incarnation of God. And I want to talk to you about that today. How many guys have ever, or you're like, Pastor, I've never even really heard much about that. I asked a few people, and they're like, oh, I've heard of it, yeah, but I was like, so what is it? And they're like, not quite sure. So after today, you will no longer have to worry about whether or not you understand or know what that is. And so, what is it, and what did it accomplish? You see, the word incarnation actually doesn't occur in the Bible. It's not in there. So, just relax. And everyone's like, it's not in there. I'm Googling it right now. It's not, but it's a Latin word, and it's in and carne. It basically means in flesh. Okay? And it's caro. I said carne. It's caro, which is flesh, meaning clothed in flesh, the act of assuming flesh. You know that there's only one person in this planet that can actually say they've participated and partaken in the incarnation of God. It's Jesus Christ. God became human flesh. Think about that. What is Christmas all about? It's about the incarnation. And I want to share this with you because 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifested, what? In the flesh. Think about that. Think about that for a second. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. It's outside the realm of your comprehension. You can't fathom who God even is, much less fathom the idea that He took all of that and put it in a human body. How is that even possible that a human body could contain all that God is, all that Jesus Christ was and is and will ever be, is now contained in a human glorified body because He laid His life down for us. And we're going to get more into that. But God Himself is in human form. That's the incarnation. You know, it consists of two different miracles. The incarnation itself, God becoming flesh, and then the method by which He did it, which was a virgin birth. Somebody say virgin birth. You know, nobody else other than Jesus can say they were born of a virgin. Nobody else other than Jesus can say they were incarnated, that they were God and became human flesh, and then through the form of being conceived and brought forth in a virgin, God became a human being. John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Think about that for a minute. The Word of God, God Himself, became human flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. What is Christmas? It is us beholding the glory of the incarnation of God. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, think about that statement. The Word became what? Flesh. This is in your Bible. People are like, never heard of the incarnation or what that's all about. Well, it's written all through your Bible, through the New Testament, that Jesus was God and He became a man. Think about it. In the beginning, see, to really fathom this, you've got to go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, Jesus wasn't, He didn't become God when He was born. He was God way before that. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. God's plan was always the incarnation. I think so many times we get confused and we think that God is trying to fix this sin problem that Adam and Eve created back in the garden when they sinned and they ate that fruit. Why? Why did you eat the fruit? God already knew they were going to eat the fruit. Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. It's all God's plan. See, without free will, there's no such thing as true love because there has to be a choice. If you didn't have a choice to choose to love God, then you're really not loving Him. You're just actually obeying Him because you have to. See, God's not looking for people that are being forced to spend their lives with Him because they have to. God's looking for those that will love Him. Amen. Because they want to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he had to create free will. He had to put the tree in the garden, knowing they were going to eat of it, and sin was going to enter the world. And I would venture to say even knew Satan was going to fall and desire to be a god himself. I don't think God was shocked by that one. He saw it coming. This would be like lightning fell. God's never caught off guard, guys. You know, he chose to give up his control of this world, and he gave it to Adam knowing that Satan would steal it, but he knew that he already had a plan in place through the incarnation of himself becoming a human being, re-establishing his kingdom in that earth, and then letting all those who would love him because they wanted to join his kingdom, join his party called Christmas, thus becoming part of the kingdom of God. See, that's what Christmas is. It's God became flesh. We're celebrating the virgin birth and the newborn king. Well, God came in order so that he could restore you back to a relationship with him. Does that make sense? Galatians 4. Well, here, let's look at this John 1 still again. It says, he was with God, but he became flesh. He was with God, and he dwelt among us. Why did he dwell among us? Because the infinite position of being an eternal God, he had to take the finite position of being a man as well. The Bible says he was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, their bloodline was polluted, so there had to be a virgin birth, otherwise Jesus wouldn't be God. Without the virgin birth, it wouldn't be possible, because sin was passed down from Adam and Eve to every one of you. That's how far it went. And everyone that's coming into this life and into this world will be born under sin. See, Jesus, through the incarnation, was not born under sin. Through a virgin, God became human flesh. For this very purpose, okay, listen to this very closely. You know, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. God had to bring forgiveness. God had to bring grace into the world. God had to release us from the curse of sin. And the only way that he knew he could do that, which he had already established before the foundations of the world, was that he would send his son, part of him, and God himself would become a man in Christ Jesus. And then he would lay down his life for each one of us and set us free from the bondage of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you if you place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't place your faith in Jesus Christ, sin still has dominion over you, and you're not in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, but you are not a part of God. But when you accept the gift of his salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, who was the incarnation of God himself, laying his life down for you on that cross that day, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. We become the righteousness of God by faith in the incarnation, by believing that God became a man, and as a man laid his life down and took his pure and holy and perfect blood, the same blood that was in Adam before he sinned, and laid that blood down on the altar of the cross and sacrificed himself so that you could be set free. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. I'll add that in. Sons means everybody. The Bible. I've been adopted. My mom adopted me when I was a baby, so I understand what it means to be brought into a family and not be a part of that family, but be loved just like you're part of that family. And God has adopted each person that will put their faith in Jesus Christ. He has adopted you. That's why the incarnation is so powerful, because it places you from a separated person into a person of fellowship with the Holy God. You are part of His family. You're His family. Philippians 2, 5 through 10. I want to hit on this scripture really good, because this really drives it home. You guys ready? Ready? Come on, shake your neighbor. Some of y'all ate the bagels. Some of you drank the... Well, we don't have Kool-Aid. We have coffee, but... Come on, everybody. Hang in there. We're good. We're good. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's kind of weird. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen to what was in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, are you not created in God's image? Hello? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. So the spirit realms can bow their knee to Jesus as well, because he is the King. He's the King of Kings. But before his incarnation, Jesus was found in the form of God. He trapped himself in a human body for all of eternity, guys. He trapped himself in a human body for all of eternity. You meant that much to him that he left his form of God and trapped himself in human flesh, and now into a glorified body that has been raised from the dead, the same body that you're going to get when you're raised from the dead in Christ. He's forever trapped himself in that body, because that was the will of him who sent him. It's the plan. Look at this. He was found in the form of God. From the beginning, he had the nature of God. He existed as God. I mean, he was divine. He was a divine form. He was God, his God. Isn't that powerful? He didn't consider it unlawful to be equal with the Father. Equality with God was not something that he retained by force. He was already God. You know, he didn't become God when he was born. He was already God, and he changed his form and was put into the womb as an infant, as a baby. And he lived the same life that we're all living, yet without sin. Can we even fathom living a life without sin in it? How is that possible? Only God can do that. And he did. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself so much that he laid his life. He became sin for you. Being God himself, he laid his life down, emptied himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, and emptied his deity out of himself into you, and then took your sin into him. On that cross, that's what happened. You're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And you are not God. Let me be squared away with that. Everybody gets weird. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Him, we live and move and have our being. If we're found in Him, how do you be found in God? You accept the gift of His salvation by faith. You say, God, I need you. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to adopt me. I'm placing myself up for adoption for the kingdom. Will you adopt me? Yes, I will. Or you can stay an orphan. Say, no, I want to do my own thing, God. I don't need you. I don't want you. I reject all that you have for me, and you will be able to live your life like that. God has given you that choice. It's not the right choice. Surrender into yourself like Jesus. He's like, let me show you how to do this. I am perfect in everything, and I'm going to empty myself. I'm going to lay my life down for you, and I'm hoping that you will see the pattern of my deeds, and you'll do the same. Husbands, wives, you know, in your marriage, you know the purpose of marriage, right? It's to kill you. Right? It's to teach you how to lay your life down for another person.
Amen.
That's the purpose of marriage, to lay your life down, to show them, to empty yourself. That's why we're the bride of Christ. It's the marriage picture, is salvation, the incarnation, and Jesus becoming human flesh was so that he could be married to you. It's crazy. I didn't say that at the first service. That was good. So he could be married to you. And then you can learn to lay your life down for him. Because he already laid his life down for you. So what are you doing? Will you lay your life down? Made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Took the low road. It's the last time you took the low road driving. Hey, buddy! Cut me off! Guilty. Oh, hey, yeah, you go to the church. I did that to one of my pastors once. I saw him and I purposely got it behind him and kind of cut him off over there. He's like, and I was like, oh, and then I'm like, hey! And he's like, you got me. Like, you got me. It's true. But look at this. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. Are you taking upon yourself the form of a servant? Are you following his example? He became human so he could show us the way for us to really be human the way he intended it to be in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You notice it doesn't say a ransom for all? There's a part to play in this. You've got to accept the gift of God by faith. Christmas is about giving gifts. Jesus gave you the greatest gift you'll ever have. The gift of eternal life in himself. The Son of God became a man and laid his life down and went to that cross to set you free because he knew that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you can walk in Christ through this life and you can have nothing but victory over the enemy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come. That means I have been incarnated that you might have life. See, Christmas, the what of Christmas is Jesus coming and laying his life down for you. That's why he's the gift, the greatest of all gifts. Hebrews 4:15 says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He humbled himself. God's not unaware of your battles and your struggles and your insecurities.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome
in this place.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Joyful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am.
Hello, everyone. Pastor Kevin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I just wanted to take a moment and invite each and every one of you to our Christmas Eve services. It's going to be December the 24th at 4 and 5:30 p.m. here at Lighthouse Church, located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Please join us as we celebrate the joyous holidays and the birth of Jesus Christ here at our church.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.